jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharpen up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, we have a fun day ahead. This is going to be interesting. For the wrap, it's always I have a couple of friends in studio and we just talk about the issues of the day or whatever is on our minds. In this case, it's first for both, actually. First, we have representative, state representative, and former head of the Escambia County PTA. I like to always remember that, where she came from. and a veteran. Michelle Salzman is in the house.
Go so, Army.
Yeah. So whenever we have Michelle Salzman around, we always like to remind people.
March safe from Michelle Salzman today.
I have great sound clips for her because when she filled in for me that one time and had a blast. And I don't get to use your Stink Eye John clip because John's not here anymore, but I did love that one too. Of course, the one that we use the most.
What the Florida?
And then possibly my other favorite.
Oh, you want to do Traffic on the Five?
Well, nobody, I
there,
need
no
tra- you.
There are no wrecks except for the one here, sir. John.
And also her husband, the one who is always just sort of, I won't say quite trailing behind, but, you know, grabbed and gone. Like, that's kind of Michelle has to go to all these things, and Phil Hollows has to go with her. They make a great sort of the hot air balloon and the brick, you know, if you know that kind of metaphor for their relationship. But Philip Salzman, who is himself a very accomplished tech person and a dear friend and a wonderful guy, and occasionally gets confused for me by people who don't know any better.
It happens.
So the reason I wanted to have you both on today partially is because Michelle— You started all the data center stuff.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm just transparent. People are like, data center. I'm like, oh, yeah, we were talking about that. And then they're like, you're trying to kill us all. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong?
So, yeah, so she's responsible. The reason we have to put up with this lunacy is Michelle, basically.
I thought it was just a Facebook status.
It's okay.
Just a Facebook status, right. There's no such thing as just a Facebook status anymore. But, Philip, you posted something the other day, and it's a little long to just read on the radio, but the short version was that when you had begun, for years you were anti-AI,
oh, yeah, of course.
Which is where I am right now. I am hostile to artificial intelligence for all the reasons. And then you said, but over time I became convinced that AI is a tool and it is the future. It is here. There's no fighting it. There's just a question of learning how to use it effectively. Talented people will use it to be more talented. And talented people who do not use it will fall behind. I would also say that untalented people will use it to give the illusion of talent.
Yeah, and it'll still break.
Which is a problem. But so that's what I want to talk about between you. I'm going to have plenty to talk about. So, Philip, why? What changed your mind on AI? Because the short version, okay? You know I view this. But my view is that AI is stealing or threatening to steal and replace everything about us that makes us human. And the kids who are growing up these days are not learning to read and write and think critically and be the sort of talented people that we want to use AI. They're just not becoming that because they're substituting education with AI, and it's a real danger for thriving humans. That's my view. That's my concern.
Well, yeah, so we still have to go through a learning curve on how to adapt to that because it's only just been the last couple of years. The progression of the technology has just increased tremendously over the last, what, 3 years, four mm-hmm. years? Since GPT-3 really hit for public consumers to be able to use. And so we're still in the learning curve of how to do that. And unfortunately, we're coming out of the learning curve of how to deal with the, you know, lockdowns and COVID and everything else that kids went through just a few years before that, where they were stuck at home all the time.
Right.
Not able to go to school, or their classes were changed dramatically. So when it comes to the education side of it, it is a hot mess. It's absolutely nuts on how to do that.
Well, the number one issue I saw, what really drove my attention to AI and the data centers, and I mean, it all stemmed from touring top secret facilities and talking with our cybersecurity for our Navy mm-hmm. and with other contractors and asking them, what can we do for you as a community? What can we do for, national security? What are your concerns? You know, and the number one thing was, we are so behind. And I know we don't talk about it as a nation because obviously you don't want that on the airwaves because you don't want your enemy to know that you're behind, although they know it. basically what we see is the other countries are using AI. They're using these platforms. They're creating these systems, and they don't have any rules. They don't have any rules of engagement. They don't have a constitution. They don't have rights of citizens like we do. So they can do pretty much whatever they want. Whereas in America, we've tried to keep in that framework of how we develop and infiltrate and, you know, do our operations as a security component. So we're not using a lot of those systems. We're not doing the same things that they're doing. We don't have that ability because we have constraints on how we operate. But those constraints on how we operate have constrained how we create our infrastructure. So we have postponed a lot of things in our infrastructure because of the way we believe and operate as a nation. And in doing so, other countries are far ahead of us. And that's why we have a war going right now that nobody ever talks about. The cyber war is real. Every day, every single day, countries are trying to get in our systems through your computer, through the cloud, you know, through the universe, you know, and how do you combat that? You have to have the ability to operate. And with that comes data centers to process the data centers to help you create and manage these systems that you're running. So when I toured them and they said that they can't use the same tools, they don't have those permissions because of who we are, that bothered me. And so
because there's no equivalent of, say, the Geneva Convention for cyber warfare.
Right.
And so they're doing whatever they want to do, and we're operating within constraints.
Right.
I hear two different things, and I'm trying to reconcile them, and I don't know what the answer is. On the one hand, my perception is, like you say, you know, China and even Iran and North Korea and some of our other adversaries. Yeah, Russia, yeah. Clearly, have very advanced cyber capabilities, and they don't have the sort of constraints that we have, and I believe that that's true. On the other hand, I hear the story that we have way more data centers than they have and that we are ahead, and that what they're trying to do is subvert American efforts to build infrastructure that they are essentially engaging in an intelligence operation against our vulnerable and easily misguided Democrat Socialists of America, who they've rallied up into a frenzy to go protest data centers as a form of cultural warfare because they don't want us to even fall to parity. So
Which is it? Where are we? Both of those are true.
Okay.
We may have more data centers, but they're like Google, or, you know, they're not government related.
They're not weaponized in our national defense.
Yeah, good. You're very articulate. I didn't even bring any notes. I just showed up with a phone. I don't care.
Is that your assessment too, Philip? Because this is kind of your industry, right?
Yeah. So it is. China, especially. I mean, we might have more right now, but they have caught up very quickly.
And they have 10 times as many people as we have. Like they have, well, not 10, but you know, they have a lot more people than we have. They have an ability to scale up because of their system, their resources. They can just decide, we're going to do this and we're going to spend $1 trillion on it.
Yeah, so the biggest bottleneck in AI development and training and everything right now are power, the power infrastructure.
Okay.
And they are rolling out generators on flatbed trucks. They are building huge, like 10 megawatt generators, putting them onto container trucks and dropping them off at different facilities where they're building up data centers very quickly.
So they're doing now what they have been doing with Navy infrastructure and with missile defense and with building the islands. They're thinking, in 20 years, we want to be here. Here's what we have to do to get there. Let's do it.
A lot faster than 20 years.
And we're not doing that. And that's part of
the warfare.
How
long does it take us to build a power plant?
Forever.
To permit one, not even a nuclear, I mean, which we should be doing faster, but any power plant.
I do like nuclear power, but a whole other conversation. The idea is they see that we're trying to catch up as a nation as far as technology is concerned. They see, as you know, we're trying to bring manufacturing to the United States. We're trying to become more self-sufficient like we used to be. And they see that as an attack on the cyber warfare. If we become more independent as a nation in technology, then we are the upper hand again. So they are pretty...
Which, by the way, credit to President Trump. I mean, I give President Trump a lot of grief on a lot of things, but he really is, across the board, finding ways to attack back against what China's been doing now for decades.
But we have to.
And we have to. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a vulnerability, and eventually it'll catch up to us, and we won't be the United States anymore. But so they're creating these narratives intentionally and rallying. I mean, you have Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians. Everybody thinks the sky is falling with data centers, and that was not on accident. It's not an accident.
Like the AI, the flock cameras, the data centers, this is all an intelligence operation.
Absolutely. Matter of fact,
The flock cameras are pretty bad, but yeah.
But that's been thrown into it, and that's easy to get people worked up about.
Because libertarians, big daddy government,
right, it's across the board.
So it kind of inherently happened. But this whole narrative, they've got stirred up. It's creating a frenzy, and people are fear that they fear what could happen. Most of the people, and you see it online, they start talking about data centers. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
They just start spitting stuff out because they saw it on a post or somebody, their friend read it somewhere. Don't ask where they read it because it doesn't matter. They just read it somewhere.
On Reddit a lot
right.
of times.
Exactly. Reddit.
Like the power thing, you know, where like it's the law and also the practice is that they bring their own power. The water thing, the law and the practice. Is they bring their own water. Yeah. In fact, typically they have to produce water as an output, if they do output it at all, that's cleaner than what they take in.
Exactly.
We're dealing with effluent, like Milton is trying to build a wastewater treatment plant, can't find a way to treat it to get rid of its effluent. Gosh, I don't know. If you had a data center in Milton, you'd solve that problem all around. But, I'm just like, and if the future is these things, if the future requires this infrastructure, I don't want to ban it based on stupid arguments that were at least somewhat influenced by a foreign adversary who wants that outcome for us.
Yeah, I mean, not all of the arguments are stupid. They do have merit. And if the arguments were not there, if people were not saying, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, then honestly, the tech industry and the construction industries would not be focused on, okay, so how do we not use water anymore?
They wouldn't be working on doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we need to do closed systems with glycerin cooling? What do we need to do? You speed up the distribution and the creation of the submodular nuclear plants that we can just drop them in there, because power is the biggest problem. We're not getting a data center like that in Northwest Florida because we do not have the infrastructure.
Right.
FPL you can't just take in something that uses an entire 12 neighborhoods worth of power and drop it in and expect it to work.
I can give you an example, very transparent, like I said before. When I was talking about data centers in the North End, and I was like, let's bring one here, let's do this. And I started meeting with FPL. I had conversations with a lot of folks. The number one issue was, how big is the data center? We can't do we can do one like for a hospital or for a university.
Which we have plenty of.
Right. But it was actually for IT. It was for cyber warfare is what the conversation I had at Corey Station. I mean, that resonated with me. And I was like, how can we continue the Center for Cybersecurity hub that we have in the Panhandle? Well, we have to be prepared infrastructurally to continue that. And so I started just having the conversation about data centers. How do we do it? Where can we build it? And the number one thing was, it can only be below, like, I think it was 20. It wasn't
20
even
megawatts.
50.
Not even 50.
It was so tiny. And it was actually all we need if we were to do something, because it's really only to create that training infrastructure so we continue to grow and develop the minds of the future for defense.
And by the way, the law that was passed
co-sponsored. Yeah. I co-sponsored it. Hello.
484, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, SB 484.
But that did go through some revisions. For example, in the late process, they dropped the ban on NDA. It was going to ban NDAs for this, and that got rid of it. There are some other things in there that are, I think, less vigorous. You know, there was a distance provision.
Yep.
It was originally 5 miles from a house. That's absurd. But, a mile or something like that might make some of that stuff got deleted as well.
Right.
The article I was reading the other day was, and I kind of shared it with you guys in case you hadn't seen it, was that the power companies were actually kind of thrilled with the outcome because this gave them a roadmap for what they can do, which is not the read a lot of people have taken on this. But I see the side of it you're talking about, the national defense side, the, building for the future side. There's still that question in my mind of, but kids are using AI to cheat instead of learning how to reason. And people who
That's lazy parenting, though, and government can never fix that.
But people who, like, I have spent a lifetime becoming good at language and learning, and I watch the meetings, and AI gets stuff wrong. AI, like, if I rely on AI to do what I would do to harvest information, I will not be as reliable as I am.
Of course.
And I also won't be as creative as I am, but the AI is as bad right now as it's ever going to be. It's only getting better. And that terrifies me.
And there are a lot of people out there who will be lazy and use it. And then, like you were saying, the people who are not qualified for it will still put out garbage in, garbage out. So, like,
but its
the people who are qualified.
But the ability of the AI is a person, I mean, for example, you know, I have a 20th grade education, okay, grad school, right? I have a 20th grade education. Some people have a 10th grade education. A 10th grade education using AI can pretend to be a 17 or 18 or 20th grade. It amplifies, right? Mm-hmm. Not the same, not quite as good, at least not yet. Well, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else terrifies me? That people can't write and read in cursive.
Yes.
I mean, we yes. passed that law a couple of years ago, and people, like, lost their minds. I'm like, guys, our Constitution is written in cursive.
I can't write and read in
Hello?
Cursive. I'm terrible at it.
Guys, the moment the government has to tell you what your rights are is the moment you just lost all your rights.
All right, so, Philip, back to your original thing was you got persuaded that AI is it's a tool in the hands of the capable.
Yes, and it's...
But it is interfering with the development of capability. That's my concern.
Yes, that is a true statement. Both of them are. But
And also, by the way, you need to be a native speaker. If you're really going to use AI well, you can't be like me, 55, learning it. You got to learn it when you're 10. I get that, too. Like, how do you have them become fluent in it without being corrupted and inhibited by
it? You mean
it?
Like prompt writing and how to properly use it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and that's going away fast, too. If you remember just a couple years ago, based on what you told it, it could come up with something completely different if your prompts weren't structured.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think those are smaller issues. I think we will get past that with, you know, detecting if something was written by AI is a great little tool that's coming out now.
They have that now, but they have to constantly revamp it because it, you know, the
AI gets better and the kids get smarter you build the wall, I'll build the ladder, right?
But and going back to like hallucinations and AI just making stuff up, we have an attorney in South Florida or Central Florida actually who's also a politician who gave all of his court papers to the judge, and it was AI written, and it created case law that didn't exist inside of the document.
And he didn't read it. He didn't proofread it. He turned it in.
He just turned it all in.
Even scientific papers. There have been some with fake studies.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
and then somebody reads that and believes it's real.
Right.
My biggest issue with all of this information warfare that we have is there's no real vetting of the information. People read one thing and they believe that to be true.
Right.
With no real research. But how do you research anymore?
Read every day. I read things online, and because it's my job to know enough to know it's false, I know it's false.
Right.
But there are not a lot of me's out there, and we don't necessarily have the level of influence or control or whatever. And, you know, people are like, well, we don't want fact checkers. By God, we need them. Oh, my God, do we need them? You know, so that's also the collective, the body of knowledge, the kind of institutional memory stuff is going away because we're outsourcing that to the memory of the internet or the memory of the AI. And that terrifies me.
Well, knee-jerk reactions are where all of that come from.
Right. That just brings me back to, I went to a neighborhood watch meeting recently, and there was one of those Escambia Citizens Watch major players, like one of the top fans that's always on there.
Okay.
And she has bashed me for years. I mean, since I filed to run 7 years ago. And I met her for the first time, and we had a wonderful conversation. I talked to her for over an hour, and I just thanked her over and over again. I said, you could pause on all of the nasty words that you say, all the name-calling, but the rest of it, I truly appreciate. That's what's wrong with America. If you were to ask me what's one of the number one downfalls, it's the inability to take criticism and the inability to communicate.
Right.
You know, and while we are not transferring thoughts and ideas from one person to another in a meaningful way through dialogue on social media, it still creates the conversation. And that provides a level of accountability for actions of leaders in the community, politicians, you know, whoever you are. So I welcome that, and that's what we lose now in this information war, is the exchange of ideas between humans, and we're only exchanging ideas from articles or posts or I read it on you know, Insta, whatever. So
there's a lot of confirmation bias online. Lot of I share something because I read the headline and the headline confirms what I want to be true, and therefore we're done.
Exactly.
Instead of the deeper thinking about it. Man, we are totally out of time. We got like 10 seconds left. Phil, I want to give you the last word, but anything you want to leave people with?
Make the decisions at the local community. That's it.